shining. And the Lord began to deal with me some about some things. But I went to church one time, and I didn't realize what was happening to me. But when I would go to church, because of all the things going on in our life and young Christians and all of that stuff, you know, you can come to church and you can come to church weighed down, burdened down, worried, troubled, and all of that. And how many knows it'll rob things you from getting things from the Lord, you know? But I started in church, and all of a sudden I could see myself inside. I could see me fixing to walk in that church, and it was hot outside, and I had on insulated coveralls. And all of a sudden I thought, man, why am I seeing that, you know? I don't even know about Revelation. I don't know nothing, you know? All I know is I'm going to church, you know? I've took my family to church, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, take the coveralls off. Leave everything outside. Leave everything out here. And so I thought, oh, man. You know, I started thinking, well, I was. So anyhow, I learned something that day. I imagined taking those coveralls off, and I laid everything down. I said, God, I just forget everything. That's what he was talking about doing. God, I just give you everything, God, and I'm going into your house, God, and I'm going to leave changed. I'm going to leave transformed, Lord. I'm going to leave with more knowledge of your, you know. And I went in, and I'm telling you, that was the beginning of some of the best services, church services I'd ever been in. The churches hadn't increased in the church. It wasn't the church. It was me. It was me positioning myself, and God, every service that I would engage myself in church. And that's why I always say, are you believing this morning, you know? If you're not, you know, shift gears, get in faith. And how many knows believing God is the choice we make? I can choose to worry about everything out there, or I can choose to put my attention on the Lord. You know, and if I choose to put my attention on the Lord, you know, I'm honoring him then. And the Bible says those that honor God, God will honor. He will honor. And he honors those that respect his word, you know. But we are shining. That's the title of it. And we'll maybe get some more understanding as we go on. Yeah, but we was come to the men's meet yesterday, and I was standing outside, and nobody hadn't really got here yet. And I just heard the word shining, you know, and I started thinking about it and what the scripture says about it, and, you know, and all that stuff, you know. And come in, and Monty had some scripture on it, you know, and he ministered down those lines about our life shining and ministering, you know, being a light, you know, and everything. And didn't know Teresa had that sermon been bowling for a week. You know, and then the Lord speaking that to me yesterday morning before we came into men's meeting. Oh, by the way, Monty, you know your light shines, don't you? You may not feel like it. You may not, but your light shines. It shines. Because we're in Christ Jesus. I can see, Monty had been here, and I'm just not picking on Monty. Monty and him been here 10 years, And when he got here, I mean, he wasn't just all warped up, but I thought, I got a job, because he was a worrier. I mean, the dude, you know, I mean, he worried about finances and worried, you know. But I cast my job over on the Lord, and then my light shined. Now, Monty ain't. We're supposed to multiply. You're supposed to multiply. You will multiply. You will. If we believe right, but Jesus says, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that I've lost none that you've given me. And another part of the word says, Lord, they thank you that they will believe them as they have believed me. Talking about what we say and how we live. And you don't wait on your life to be totally complete to believe that your light's shining. You know, I believe that God is so vast and so awesome that we will not receive all of him here. I don't believe we have that capability. But I know that when he comes, Jesus said that we will be like him, because we will see him as he is. And that's talking about we'll see ourselves like him. We'll see that we can be like him. And are being conformed into his image. But you are shining if you're a Christian. I mean, you know, I got born again and I went to the same job that I'd worked 5 or 10 years, and I wasn't trying to be different, but I had been changed, I mean. And when people got around me, they're like, my boss come to me not long after I got saved, and he said, What's happened to you? And I said, I don't know. He said, you're just different. And I said, I got saved. And he was a churchgoer. You know, and I thought, this is just normal. I didn't feel like I was shining. See, sometimes you don't have to feel like you're shining, that your light is shining. You know, but it is. We're born again. Well, once we got born again, see, we are different. We're born of the Spirit of God. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. We're pilgrims. The Bible says we're just passing through, but he wants us to occupy down here, live like God lives down here, and we can have some heaven on earth. God's word works. I don't care what the devil says. I don't care what a big part of the church says. I mean, I've been called Fruit Loop. I've been called, you know, that faith bunch. I've been called just because... I mean, and I check myself when these things happen to see if I have turned into a weirdo. Any of y'all know some Christian weirdos? I do. I mean, they're plumb out there, just nonsense with the Word and Jesus and different things, you know. And so I would check myself. Didn't Paul say, judge ourselves to see if we be in the faith? He said, examine ourselves. And the Bible says, The Word is like a mirror to us. We look at the end of the mirror, into the perfect law of liberty, and we're changed. You know? And so, Beth, if you don't care, give me Matthew 5. I don't know if that's it or not, is it? Oh, yeah, yeah. Because I'm trying to get way ahead of myself here. I got to calm down like Tracy. I'm excited. Amen. We're going to leave here changed. We're going to leave here with a greater understanding of the Word. We're going to leave here of a greater understanding of Jesus. Hallelujah. And how we're becoming like Him. And it's not that we make ourselves. I'm not trying to make myself be a Christian. I am one. You are one. We are one. If you give your heart to Jesus, you're not trying to be a Christian. You are one. You're not trying to be a good Christian. You are one. He says, and seeing, whatever that word, I can't say. Multitudes went up into a mountain, and when he was sat down, it's talking about Jesus, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Go ahead, Beth. That's it. Okay. No, don't give me the next one. Oh. Is that all of it? Okay. Okay. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is this. Henceforth good for nothing to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city is set on a hill, cannot be hid. Now, we'll go on. I'm going to give you some more scriptures. But Yeah. Neither do men light a candle to put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light shine, so shine before men that they may what? See your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Okay, now here Jesus is. He's sitting before the disciples. And he's telling them how they are going to shine. What's going to cause them to shine. What is going to set them apart. Now, I mean, we need to know the Beatitudes. We need to do the Beatitudes. You know, I said out one time, you know, the Lord told me, he said, I read the Beatitudes. He says, blessed is the peacemaker. And so I thought, glory to God. I thought, glory to God. If I want to be blessed, then I got to make peace at my house. Glory to God, I got to be the one that heads up peace at my house when turmoil's there. Glory to God, I got to be the one. See, now what's happening is, see, Jesus is telling them how to shine. He's telling them, blessed are you, blessed are you, blessed are you, blessed are you going to be, blessed are those. They wasn't doing it yet. He's teaching them how to do it. Now see, when we embrace the Word of God, in other words, I think I'm not going to steal no more. I used to be a thief, you know. I got born again, and that old man still wanted to steal, you know, because that's how I got things sometimes. You know, I worked. I didn't come out of a lazy family, buddy. I worked 3 jobs and stole everything, too. The jobs don't stop a thief. I mean, why buy it when you steal it? That's what I was thinking, you know. Well, anyways, I'm reading the Bible. Somebody say the Bible. I'm reading the Bible, and it said, let a man steal no more, but let him work with his own hands that he may have to give to them the need. And I'm sitting there thinking, nah, if a man don't work, he ain't getting my money. I mean, my mind is contrary to that Bible. And I'm thinking, nah, these bunch of deadbeats out here, you know, man, they don't want to work. I got to work, give them my money, you know. And then when I got up and I start praying, I'm thinking about that. See, that's the Holy Spirit in your life, trying to change our thought patterns where we think like God does. Because when we think like God, we act like God, we are like God, and then we get the fruit God said we'll get. And it don't matter if that, I don't steal no more. I thought, glory to God, I'm not going to steal. I'm not going to steal. See, we're living in a time when a lot of the ministering that is going on is not telling us about the responsibilities we have handling the Word. We're responsible for the Word, and we don't have to get down and out because we're not lining our life is not lining up with the Word in areas. Don't get all discouraged and quit and say and think you can't do it, because the Bible declares that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. See, now what that means is that's where grace comes in. Grace comes in and gives me the ability not to steal no more. Because once I made up my mind, here come grace, and I'm like, glory to God, it took the desire of stealing away. See, it took it away. Then I go to the bank and I get an extra $100 bill later, and I count it and I think, glory to God, I got blessed, you know. I would do that as a baby Christian, you know. But the Lord said, that's somebody else's money. So I go back to the bank and give them the $100 back. Because I found out that $100 will come out of the teller that cashed my check. She's going to be $100 short in her thing when she tallies up, and she's responsible for that, and that will come out of her income. Would that be fair? No. One started crying when I can't believe you brought that back. I mean, that would come. That's how I found out that would come out of her payday. And you know what that was doing? Shining. That's what it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And the next thing she said, God is good. They glorify Him. See, your life, your light is shining if you're serving Jesus. You might think you're the worst Christian would do, you know, on the planet, but it don't make no difference how you feel. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. We are born again. We are born of God's Spirit. We have His power abiding in us, and the grace of God is on us, and this world and people know that we're Christians. There's a distinction about Christians. They walk and there's just something about them. They're under the anointing, see. They're walking with God. God's walking with them in people's life. They'll walk by and they'll be like, you can't help but to like that Scotty Weston. I've had customers to tell me before, I don't even like you, but I got to use you. Later on, those same people get sick or something, I'll be like, let's pray about this. Pray about it. Yeah, we believe God can heal. We believe the Lord. They change. See, there's something about me and you that draws. People, sinners was drawn to Jesus. The religious scribes and Pharisees, they wasn't. They were looking to ways to, we got them out here. Who do they think they are over at Faithway Christian Center? Got another building, open it up. I had churches tell me, look, we need to go in together and open a store together and sell it. And I said, well, that's where me and you don't get along. I made myself not popular, see. I said, that's where me and you don't get along. I found scripture in the Bible. Jesus said, freely you have been given, freely. Freely you've received, freely give. I said, see, the difference between me and you, you trying to make money and I'm not. I'm called to preach the gospel. You're supposed to be. See, that set us apart. Then go about, Scotty Weston down there, Faith Bunch. At Faith Bunch, no, we're not a Faith Bunch, we're Christians. I'm not labeled, I don't put a label on me as a faith person. I am a Christian following Jesus. I've been born again. And I don't have my life together with the Word. I don't have my life together without the Spirit of God. I don't have my life together. I don't know what to do. Me and you's never been here before. We're at a place where we've never been, but I've never been 55. What? Trying to give myself another year here. I've never been 57, 56. You know, somebody asked me when I turned 52 or 3, do you feel old? How does 52 feel? I said, well, it just feels like 52. I don't know. I said, I'm not going to go to asking people and try to compare if I feel like 52 or not. The Bible says that I'm renewed day by day. That's what I'm going to go by. I'm not going to live by. The Word says that by Jesus' stripes ye were healed. Now you got to embrace that. You got to take that. I told the Lord on the way to church, I said, I am the redeemed, Lord. I said, Lord, and I done touched the hem of your garment concerning my healing. I said, I've already done it, Lord. I've got you, the healer, on the inside of me. And I've got your word on the inside of me. I said, and I thank you, Lord, that anything that comes against this body right here, it meets 1 Peter 2:24. Bam. Why? By Jesus' stripes I'm healed. And I tell the Lord a lot, Lord, I'm not against doctors, Lord. You anoint doctors, Lord. But, Lord, I'm always going to believe your report. I'm not going to let my body change what I believe. See, these obstacles that gets it, that tries to get us to detour. There's obstacles. I mean, just like with my marriage. I'm dead set. If that woman ever did get a divorce, she's going to pay for it, and I'm not signing. Well, what if you get mad? I won't. The Bible says I can get angry, but don't sin. What if you get so mad you can't stop? I won't. The Bible says I can do all things. See, I'm not going to be diverted, in other words. I'm not going to be detoured and let the word come out of my heart, because it's what's bearing fruit and it is what's keeping my marriage strong. It's what keeps me and you. My love for Jesus keeps me coming in us unified. Your love for Jesus, your love for His will. Praise God. But He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. See, I hung on down here when the city persecuted us. When they didn't want us to have a church. When God tells you you can be somebody, you are. If the Bible says that you're kings and priests unto God, I don't care what people wants to put a label on you. You believe what God's word says about you, and you are what it says you are. You are royal priesthood. You are chosen by the Lord. We've been chosen by the Lord, and we are going to glorify Him. You are glorifying Him. You're here this morning. You shine. Your neighbor, when they see you leave going to church, you're shining. When somebody wants to come over and they know you're going to church and you say, bring your church clothes, you're shining. Say, because we'll be out at so-and-so. But y'all go with us. I mean, you know, and I've had people to tell me before, well, you don't need to disrespect. No, God is first. When God's first, then you're shining. When God is first, your lifestyle of going to church or talking about Jesus or praying, that right there will bring conviction on people. It'll bring conviction. Conviction's not a bad thing. Conviction means convincing. I'm convinced that there's a lot of people has seen my life and said, well, just like this. I was walking away from the Lord one time, and my neighbor up there, and he was something like him come down there, you know, and he said, oh, man, he says, man, don't get away from the Lord, man. I said, listen, if I want a sermon, I'll go to church. I said, I don't want a sermon. He, God's so good, been so good to you, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, and I said, I know. We'll see what was happening. My light was going out. And now I'm putting a burden on my neighbor, because he done seen God bless me. I done blessed his life and his family's life and a lot of people's lives, like you're doing, like you will. God is going to use you to do exploits. Why? How come I know that? I don't have to know you. The Bible says those that do know their God will do exploits. Extraordinary things. They will do supernatural things. See, when God tells you to pray for somebody, pray for their healing, and you've done a supernatural deed. You've brought heaven to them. You brought the supernatural to them. And you know what? It wasn't too long. All of those that persecuted me at my workplace, and I mean, I got it every day right after I become a Christian. I didn't know nothing, and all of them knew the Bible. I mean, they knew everything, it seemed like, you know. And all of that, and they were calling me this and making fun of me and all of that stuff. And you know what? I just guarded my heart. I just kept on going to church. I kept on serving Jesus. I kept on, see, they didn't know that my life was all jacked up and I was trying to get straightened out. All they had seen me is at work, but they didn't see all the trouble at my house. They didn't see all the turmoil between friends and different things that I lost because I got saved and we wasn't partying on the weekend anymore. They didn't see the loneliness that I felt. They didn't see the missing all of the partying. They didn't see all of that. All they seen was me, you know, that's where. But I held on to the Lord. Less than a year later, they was the majority of them, their parents got cancer, blah, blah, blah. They started coming to me and preaching on the street down there. And this guy, he goes to church. He's a deacon in the church. He's one of the big guys, you know, seemingly at the place that is going under. He don't even know it. But He comes out on the street and sits across the road in the bank parking lot. And when I closed out the service, I'm putting the speakers in the van. He drives across. I see him coming across, and I'm like, hey, man, that's Lynn. And so he comes over. He was ashamed to be out there seen with what he thought was the lowlife. Do you hear what I'm saying? But I had something he needed. And his name was Jesus. He pulls over there and he writes me a check. And he said, I can't come out. I said, why can't you come out here? Why can't you drive out here? Like, what do you think? I said, you think Jesus come for the righteous? I said, why don't you just say you're ashamed of the gospel? But see, what I'm saying is there was a boldness rose up in me. I'm not ashamed to come out here with these poor people that ain't got nothing, that's driving up and barely getting there, and some of them getting rides, because I know if I get this man Jesus preached to them and they get a hold of him that I've got a hold of, bless God, their life will change. Their situations will change. Their direction of life will change. And I've got something that they need. I told him, I said, praise God. I said, praise God. He said, man, I mean, I'm being abandoned at work and blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, I said, you know, Lord done lined me a job up. I was never without a job. He put me in my own business. The day that I found out that place had closed, they had done made the deal and sold out to Cahaba Valley, a big company way down in Birmingham, nobody knew about it till the day that the deal was sealed. And that very day, somebody walked up on the parking lot straight to me right after I found that out and said, why don't we go in business together? And that would have been my desire my whole life. Oh, yeah, I've been praying about a year, waiting on the Lord a year, about going in business for myself. And so, see, now what has happened is God's been taking me for a year, getting me ready to walk in His will. He's preparing you right now when He's bringing the word about submit to your own husband. He's not trying to suppress you or for you or me to love my wife as Christ. So He's not trying to suppress me. He's trying to free me. He's trying to free me up. Jesus said, whom the Son has set free is what? Free. That word is setting me and you free. That's why we preach to the... Let's make a little example here. Aubrey and Aiden. Now, I made up my mind before them babies got here that I had another chance, you know, to help bring them up in the Lord. That's exciting to me. And so you're going to have hurdles, and you're going to, I mean, every year, you know, I was telling somebody the other day, I said, I used to pick up 24 and 25. He's talking about Johnny. You need to get Johnny a bus. You know, go pick them kids up. You know, but I was telling him, we was talking about it. I said, yep. I said, I used to pick up 25, had a short school bus, picked up 20 or 25 kids, you know. And I said, till one day, I said, we're heading to church. I said, and it's getting close to Christmas. I said, and they're singing Jingle Bell and all kind of stuff, you know. Anyhow, one of them asked me, they said, is Santa Claus real? Brother Scotty, is Santa Claus real? I said, ask your parents. I didn't want to answer them. And they said, no, we're asking you. And I said, no, he's not real. Well, that's the last time them kids, a lot of them, rode the bus. Because they went back home and they told their parents that I told them that Santa Claus wasn't real. And one of my sisters called me, she was the grandparents to some of these kids, and she called me up and asked me, why did I do that? And I said, I've just got to ask you a question. She said, you know, there's nothing wrong with having fun and Santa Claus and leaving cookies and giving them joy for Christmas and all of that. And I said, well, let me ask you a question. She said, what? I said, is he real? I said, answer me. I said, I'm putting the ball in your hand here. You're accusing me. I said, is he real? Well, you know he ain't real. I said, he ain't coming down the chimney really and getting them cookies. He ain't coming down stuffing them stockings. You know, he's not really. Well, you know he's not. I said, then why would you care if I didn't lie to him? I said, you're mad because I didn't lie to your grandbabies. I said, how can I tell them that he's real when I know that he's not? I said, maybe he was back yonder. I have no idea. I said, I'm not going to, I didn't teach my kid, and I'm not going to teach any. I'm going to teach them that Jesus Christ is the reason for Christmas. We celebrate his birth at Christmas. So I've taught the grandkids. Santa Claus is not real. Yeah, there he is on TV, Papa. Nope, that's TV. Okay, finally get Aubrey. She got it settled. Santa Claus ain't real. So they go to school. And they're in the class, so the teacher says, how many in here believe that Santa Claus is real? And I reckon all the hands went up but Aubrey's, and that's trouble. Her hand didn't go up. So she says, they says, well, you don't believe in no. And she says, that's what I've been taught. That he's not real. He said, he's not real. Well, now, when I heard that, she sat there playing cards, my heart kind of sank. I'm like, I put her in the fire, Lord. Oh, Jesus. I felt like I did this to her. I did. That emotion right there is exactly why parents don't teach them the truth. That emotion. That is exactly why, oh, that is fun out of Christmas and blah, blah, blah. But Jesus is the reason for Christmas. And so here comes Aiden. Santa Claus comes to school. Now we're teaching him. He tells me. I'll say, nope, Santa Claus ain't real. Yeah, Papa, I seen him on TV. I said, that's a movie. Santa Claus ain't real. Yeah, I don't know. So he's nearly convinced. I've almost got the kid convinced like we all did, whoever's helping, you know. And so he goes to school, and Santa Claus comes to school. And so he comes in, and he said, yep, he's real, Papa, I seen him. I said, what? He seen Santa Claus in school, dressed in a suit. I said, Aiden, that was a man dressed in a suit. I said, if Papa gets a suit and dresses up like that man, I'm not Santa Claus. I said, he's a man dressed up like Santa Claus. Nope, I seen him. I thought, well, another day. He got convinced of what he saw. See, we can't be people that are convinced against the truth by what we see. We got to be Bible-based, Bible-believing, Bible-thinking, not judgmental and critical. I'm not the Holy Spirit going around trying to clean everybody up. I'm going to live for Jesus, and my convictions will call. It's going to shine somehow. See, my convictions put my grandbaby in hot water in school. But my convictions, I mean, I'm not going to allow them to be convinced if somebody in their room wants to be a cat that they get a cat litter box that they ain't really figured out who they are yet. That's happening in Oneonta School. See, this world is warped up. This world is messed up. This world is jacked up. And the reason why it is, in big part, because God is pushed out. God, and that's the way it is at our home. We got to have God. We need God. The teenagers need God in school so that they don't have to have the clique to fit in and feel good, and it warps them up. Little Aubrey come in, and I know it just seems like I'm telling my stories. No, we're Christians. You're Christians. You're going to face this stuff because satanic forces want to influence you instead of the Holy Spirit. They want to influence our kids instead of the Holy Spirit. They want them not to know the truth. They want them to not be sure about the things that are true. He said, whatever things are good, whatever things are true. He didn't say just meditate on the scriptures all the time. But we need to believe based on the scripture. and so, you know, I mean, like Aubrey and Aiden, I'm not trying to mess them up. I'm trying to get them straightened out. The world will warp them up. The movies will warp them up. The cartoons will warp them up. I mean, Aiden, he'd come to one time and he's usually, hey, Papa, you know. Well, he'd watch some Peppa Pig or something on there. I don't know what it was. And so he had this little saying. So he runs up and he said, come to Papa. And I'm like, what? I said, what? He said, come to Papa. And I said, no, you come to Papa. I didn't know where he's coming from with that, man. I don't know. You know, come to find out he's watching something, you know, the daddy or whatever, he raises his arm, come to Papa. And then they go over there and hug. No, probably a good one. But he picked up on that. And I said, nope, you come to Papa. So every time I confronted him, I'd say, come to Papa. Come to Papa. There wasn't nothing wrong with that, you know. But see, what they hear and what you hear and what you see is going to influence you if you are not careful. Jesus said, be careful what you hear. Pay attention to what you hear. He said, for the measure that you use will be measured back to you again. I read the scripture over in James back when I was a young convert, and it says, be doers of the word of God, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. And I mean, I thought so badly about myself because I had so many ways that were messed up. I couldn't even read that and make him feel good about it. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about or not, you know. Read the Word of God, you're like, well, I ain't nowhere near measuring up, man. God ain't going to do nothing for me. Just, you know, I mean, you know, and all that. And then come to realize that God is telling me, if you'll embrace this word, you won't be deceived. It'll set you free. It'll begin to set you free. He told me to love my enemies. I've got enemies. I mean, I had one other day. I let off and state trooper on the side of the road. We wasn't my enemy, but if they're not serving God, they're our enemies. These road rage stuff, they liable to pull a gun, shoot through your window. They can't mind. My angel will block it. Come on, somebody. The Bible says we got angels encamped around about us, right? If they come to this church, they can't get in here. There's a shield. They'll be like, I don't know about this church. Something feels weird. Y'all feel it? We better go to that other one. See, I really believe it's true. I believe your angels came in here with you. I believe you got angels. I believe there's as many angels in here as they are us sitting in here. They're encamped around about us, watching over us, ministering to us, protecting us, fighting for us. And they're not girls. There's no girl angels. My mama had a fireboard full of girl angels. And I walked in down there and I was like, Mom, what? I said, where's the men? What men? I said, there's no woman angels in there. You got the whole fireboard here full of women angels. You better change that. There ain't no women angels. Well, how do you know they ain't? I said, there ain't none in the Bible. I said, this gives me an image that that angels are feminine. And they're not. They're masculine. Created, strong being, not belittling women. Some of y'all women are stronger spiritually than men, in touch more with God than men. It's not shocking that there's a lot of pastors, women pastors, to me. Because if men won't stand up, he's going to use women. He anoints them and he calls them. Hallelujah. And I sure ain't going to be one to criticize them. If you a woman in here called to preach, we're going to get behind you and back you. I'll send you all over the world in one sermon. And then I'll be criticized. That brother Scotty over there believes in women preachers. Sure I do. The first one that sent a message to the disciples when Jesus rose from the dead was a woman. Study your Bible. Teresa, this morning she come in there and she's preaching. So I start preaching. She said, I got to go. I said, God, come on, let's preach together some more. Come on. She said, no, I got to get in the bath. You know. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, man, she's going to preach all morning. She's preaching. So I started yesterday telling her somewhat of what the Lord was showing me. She said, don't say nothing else. Don't talk. I said, why? She said, you're getting over in my message. So I told her this morning, I said, that ain't your message, it's mine. It don't belong to you, it's mine. I started getting, no, I've been boiling this over for 2 weeks. I said, but it's mine. I was messing with her. Told her to get went in there. See, look, y'all got to have a little fun at home, okay? So I go to the bathroom, she says, keep the door shut. So I come out, you know. I shut the door back because you had that little heater on in there. And I went in there and I said, putting your heat out for you.
Why would you say that?
Before church. I said, I'm just kidding, man. I mean, I thought I better quit being funny before I lose the anointing. But you know what? I had trouble calling me yesterday. But you don't know it today. I didn't know it yesterday. I just cast it off and said, glory to God. This is the day the Lord has made, and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I could have been all sad. I can't say that stuff.
How can you say that stuff? Got too much going on.
Because we got the Word in it. You got the Word in you. And it causes you to be a well-balanced, you can't move you kind of woman or man or teenager or baby. Let me see. Give me the next scripture, Beth. I got about 5 minutes. Praise God. Then Jesus spake again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me, that's key. Y'all are this morning. I put it on Facebook, yesterday led by the Lord, was talking about going to church and different things. And I said, if you are born again, you want to do the will of God. But if you don't want to do the will of God, you're probably not born again. And I said that based on Scripture. It's Him that works in me, Philippians 2, in me both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And I told him, I said, that's why a Christian has a desire to go to church. I said, if you are born again and you're not going to church, then you're in rebellion. Now, I'm not real popular on Facebook either, and that's fine. I didn't do it to hurt them. I'm trying to help them. Because when you begin to do the will of God begins to manifest in your life, in everything. He said, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now when you get revelation, I got revelation about tithing and about giving years ago. And praise God, I started to say it this morning. I thought, nah, I just don't do it this morning. I started to say, is anybody in here, you plumb broke? You ain't got no money, raise your hand. You don't give people time to think. Because everybody's broke after a little while. Yeah, all of us are, Pastor. Nah, you ain't. Raise your hand. And if they did, I was going to say, come up here and I'm going to bust them with a $100 bill. And some people have told me, Well, you know, I mean, what are you trying to do? Show your money off? I never had that thought. I just thought if there's somebody in here broke, but God ain't got no seed to sow, God gives seed to the sower, and I'm going to be the one that he gives them seed. So the next offering comes around, they got some seed because God gives them seed to the sower. And bread to the eater, and oil he'll multiply me. Multiplies my seed sown so that I have all, or your seed sown. You can't break me. You can't break my business. You can't break me. Why? I tithe. I'm a tither. I'm a giver. I'm a sower. You are too. That same Spirit's on you. The more you're connected to this church and this ministry, this is not me. This is the Word of God and the anointing of God. It'll get on you and get in you. And then you'll be like, oh, let's give it away. Let's give it away. And like Teresa, don't give it away. Later, she got a revelation. She's giving my clothes away. And I'm like, wait a minute. I don't want to give my clothes away. Boy, I mean, she got the giving spirit, boy, and cleaning the closets out. I'm like, I'm going to have to go to work naked, man. She's giving everything away now. She's got the revelation. And she told me one time, she said, you want me to be a giver or not? And I'm like, God, give your stuff away. Yes, I want you to be a giver, but not mine. Come on, man. I know the Holy Ghost is telling you, give yours. It's easier for you to give mine away. I mean, it's easier for me to give Johnny. Johnny, I'll give Johnny's $50. Anybody else want to give his $50 away? That's easy, Johnny. But when it's you and that's the last 50 you got, and everybody's, yeah, come on, give it. Throw it in there, baby. Yeah. See, he says you won't walk blind to things. You won't walk blind to poverty's under the curse. You won't walk blind to sickness and disease has been put under your feet. Jesus redeemed you from the curse. We won't be blind to it. He said if we follow him, he will enlighten us as we go. More and more. He'll give us more. He'll take us from faith to faith and from glory to glory. See, the Lord, I told the Lord one time, he said, I want you to be able to minister to marriages. And I said, God, well, heal mine. Heal my marriage. What am I going to tell them? If you didn't marry somebody like Teresa, buddy, Jesus is easy to deal with. I'm thinking that way, man. You know, and the Lord, he told me, he said, I'm going to lead you where your life and your marriage will come to a place to where it is solid and sound, and then that light is going to pour out into others' lives. He said, your marriage is already healed. And I thought, I wish you'd hurry on Teresa's part. I'm good. I mean, those we always think we got it all figured out, and then God opens the curtain back, and we're like, oh, shut it, God. I couldn't see that. Yeah, he'd say, yeah, you couldn't handle it back then, but now you can. I'm going to wind it on back a little bit, and I'm going to let you see yourself in light of me. He said, then you can come on in to me in that and be like me in that. So I want to encourage you. You know, you're shining. Being a Christian, you're praying. You don't have to really see the fruit of it. You are the light that's in his way. We're the restraining powers on this earth. That is why the church is so persecuted. That is why it's so sought out to push out, because we are the restraining force of evil. He's give us the anointing and us the power. He said, the earth has he give to the sons of men. We are here to steward over it like Adam was in the Garden of Eden. Now he's brought Jesus and the Holy Spirit and gave us the ability and the authority, you know, just to rule and reign with Christ. But you got to be word-minded. You got not just word-minded, you got to apply the Word of God. See, Teresa had me convinced I was dumb. She was running the house. Women is not supposed to run the house. Well, I'm smarter than he is. No, that's your opinion. God created man first. It's about place. Teresa is pretty smart. She done got the word on that, and they got the wisdom of God here. We all are. We're created in the image and likeness of God. And then when he puts his spirit, we're like him. We're wiser than our enemies. We're wiser than people in the world. We're anointed by the Lord, and they're not. We have the wisdom of God, and they don't. That's why they can't figure out how to make life work. They think that if they get enough money, they can have a good life. They'll get enough money, and the life is still jacked up. See, the life is Jesus. And let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you, and I thank you, Father, this morning.